The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Okay, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Glory. Glad that you're with us. Davis Michelson is here as well.
Yes, sir.
All right. And Ethan Lane, VP of Governmental Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, joins us right now. Ethan, welcome back to AgriTalk.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, you know, when we have you on, it's for good reason. And it's usually because there's lots of things that are happening and that cattlemen need to be kept up to speed on. And boy, we've got two or three issues that I think are pretty critical right now. And I think we need to start with Waters of the U.S. final rule. The House passed the disapproval resolution back on March 9. Senate passed the resolution that would repeal the Biden WOTUS rule yesterday. Where does that leave EPA's implementation of the final rule?
Well, you know, I mean, effectively, it leaves it unchanged if we assume, and I think we can assume, that the president is not going to sign that CRA. I mean, this is a, you know, a marquee issue for his administration. And so I don't think we're going to see this go the way of the DC crime bill from a week or two back, where he kind of shocked everybody by going along with Republicans on that initiative. So it does do a few things, though. You know, five Democrats in the Senate voting with Republicans on this CRA sends a very clear message that agriculture, rural America, states that depend on land management understand this issue across party lines. I think that's a really important message for the administration to digest. You know, certainly we're still all watching the Supreme Court. You know, that would have been my answer two or three months ago, and it still is my answer. You know, that at the end of the day, all eyes are on how they come down on the case before them right now. That is, you know, separate but related to this issue, because that's going to be the most consequential for continued implementation of this newly implemented rule. You know, it's live in 48 states as of last week. We're still in federal court with 17 of our partners in that lawsuit looking for some relief from that rule. But, you know, having had that initial injunction denied across most of the country, you know, we now all kind of wait to see what the Supreme Court does.
Okay, Texas and Idaho are the two states that are not included in this. What rules are they being regulated by when it comes to the waters of the U.S.?
Well, so now they would be subject to that new set of standards for identifying a federal nexus in the new rule. So basically, were they to have anything that would come into that, into the federal government's jurisdiction, or could potentially, the standard of whether or not they are subject to regulation under the Clean Water Act on their operations would now be through the lens of that new standard in the Biden administration rule. So that's the effective difference. And that's where that regulatory uncertainty comes from that we're so concerned about, right? Because, you know, you have a different standard this week than you did 2 weeks ago.
Right.
It is very likely that that standard is going to be totally different from either of those, based on what the Supreme Court does a few months down the road. You know, and so for producers, it becomes a kind of a patchwork of, gosh, which standard applies today versus when I applied for a permit or did something else that requires that touch point with the Clean Water Act. It's a mess for producers across the country, or really anybody that's managing landscapes.
Yeah, if a landowner is working on a project right now that touches water in any way, you probably had better get it reviewed, because as I understand it, this WOTUS rule basically says, we're going to figure it out on a case-by-case basis.
Well, that's the part that just blows me away, right?
Yeah.
Talk about just throwing the deck of cards up in the air. Not only are we going to change the standard, but we're also going to put a qualifier in there that says, we'll kind of take it as it comes, and we'll see how we do here. That's Jesus. Never the way you want a bureaucracy to interact with your private business. Right.
No.
You want to know exactly what the requirements are. You want to know exactly what the safe harbors are, and you want to know exactly what your operating room is. Good, bad, or otherwise, you never want to leave it to the federal government or any government or bureaucratic entity to say, we'll kind of take it as it comes and see what we think on that particular day. That is almost the worst case scenario You know, because it leaves it to individual opinions, and it leaves it to a much more subjective landscape, and producers can't afford that. That's no way to operate.
Yeah, exactly. Now, EPA Administrator Michael Regan has been testifying on Capitol Hill, mostly in defense of the budget that they have asked for, which is huge. But when the questions have come up about WOTUS, he basically said, listen, if we would have waited for the Sackett versus EPA decision from the Supreme Court, that would mean starting the whole basically a two-year process that much later. So they decided to go ahead and put this final rule out. Well, they just completed a process. They've got this final rule out. President Biden is going to veto the measures, the Congressional Review Act. He's going to veto that. Once we get they've done 2 years of work. They're going to have to start over anyway, aren't they?
That's my read on it too. And that's the thing. That's why this argument has never held water to me, that gosh, we had to put this marker out there, you know, because of all this work that's been done. They sit on final rules all the time. I mean, you know, once it clears OMB, they can sit there on somebody's desk until they decide to go live with it. And we see that every day. There's no, you know, expiration date looming over it. Gosh, if you don't promulgate the rule within 60 days or whatever else, even if that means checking back in with OMB, there are other options here that didn't include making an incredibly confusing, you know, 15-year long awful saga even more confusing in the last few months before we get some clarity. But nevertheless, that seems to be the argument they're sticking with. It's never made any sense.
Yep, we better switch gears here, Ethan, or we're going to run out of time. Good grief. The FDA's Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Robert Califf's comments about cell-cultured meat, it looks like he's going to wade FDA right into the middle of this, isn't he?
Well, you know, and I don't know if it was a Freudian slip or what, but boy, it was fascinating to me that in response to Congresswoman Letlow's question about how they, you know, plan to navigate this and loop USDA into their decision making, his head immediately went to climate change, which it should not be in any way, shape, or form part of the conversation at FDA. You know, obviously, from our perspective, in no way is fake meat a solution to climate change, you know, not the least of which because we are one of the most sustainable forms of nutrition on the planet, but because of what you lose if you don't have grazing animals out on those landscapes across the country. But nevertheless, that's not FDA's core mission. And he says that later in his answer to the congresswoman, where he says, you know, our real, you know, area of knowledge and expertise is food safety. Yeah, we agree. Stick to that and leave climate change out of this conversation. So it was unfortunate that was kind of the immediate reaction from the administrator right out of the gate, or the commissioner right out of the gate, was alluding to the fact that this is important for them to weigh in on because of its impacts on climate change.
Wow. Okay. Status of that, is this something that we just need to monitor for now?
This is something we need to monitor for now. You know, we're kind of over the hump on plant-based just because, I mean, the marketplace has made that decision for them, right? It's not a product anyone's interested in eating. You know, the next wave of this is the cell cultured. Obviously, there are some chicken products that we're seeing kind of come to fruition first. They have a long regulatory road ahead of them, but we're going to continue to insist that they engage folks like USDA that have knowledge in this area. Yeah. We are just not going to accept a path like what we've seen with dairy over the last couple decades, and their failure to regulate the labels in that space when it comes to some of these newly emerging products.
Okay, gotcha. We've got time. We're going to go ahead and tackle this one too. USDA released a proposed rule that would grant access to beef imports from Paraguay. Wow, this seems a little dangerous to me, Ethan.
Well, you know, Chip, when you do something like this, you want to rely on the best available information. And in this case, the USDA is relying on audits that were conducted by APHIS in 2008 and 2014. That is at best 9-year-old data to inform the risk of FMD transmission from a country that's had FMD as recently as 2012 in between those two audits, I might mention. So it's really concerning to us that, you know, this feels a little fast and loose as far as whether or not all the boxes have been checked to allow another country to bring product into the U.S. You know, given the fact that we don't have an FMD problem here, we don't want to have one. Right. We already have issues with Brazil and their failure to report. I don't think that Paraguay has the same history of non-compliance that Brazil does, and certainly we're not alleging that. But at the same time, 10-year-old data is not what we would deem to be current or reliable for making a weighty decision like this. So we just can't support that.
Very quickly, Ethan, the reason that this is such a great concern is because FMD can be transmitted on food products.
Well, it can. It can be transmitted on the bottom of a pair of boots from somebody who's been on farm. You know, there's a lot of different ways for it to get into the country, but first and foremost, we've got to make sure that we're conducting adequate reviews and timely reviews before we even start having that conversation.
Ethan, we're out of time. Ethan Lane, VP Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association.